The afternoon Friday. Once again, there's a chance of that overnight patches of fog that might be dense. 50s. Friday afternoon goes to a high of lower 70s. Chance of showers coming in Friday night and Saturday with a cool front coming down. Highs of lower 70s. Cooler with clearing Saturday night drops to the 50s. A cooler Sunday. Some clouds come back. Late day scattered showers. The highs of the 60s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
A single car accident victim can require as many as 100 pints of blood. That's why the American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org. The American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
Welcome to William Wallace for America. It's your time to speak out about the things that make America the greatest country on earth, and also find things in our country that we can unite on. William welcomes your positive solutions and questions by calling 504-556-9696. And now your host, William Wallace.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of William Wallace for America. Tonight, broadcasting from WGSO Studios in New Orleans, Louisiana. And again, thanks so much for tuning in, and please, if you want to hear more of my shows, I'll have my podcast at William Wallace for America, which can be found on your favorite podcast player, iTunes, Spotify, whichever you want to listen to. Tonight's show is about immigration and, more specifically, Biden's executive orders on immigration. And my feelings on that is that all too often, immigration is used by both sides for political gain. On tonight's show, my guest and I will attempt to explain things in a non-ideological way to help people understand immigration. As a matter of fact, tonight will be the first show in a series I am doing with Cynthia Ceballos, who is an immigration attorney here in the New Orleans area. The next shows will be on my podcast channel, which I just told you about, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, etc. But tonight, we will be covering how Biden's executive orders on immigration will help or hurt America and immigration. And again, we're going to do this in a non-ideological way. The facts are just the facts, and we're going to try to explain it the best way we can so people can understand it better. You know, I am all for legal immigration, as is my guest Cynthia, who's also for legal immigration. But politics is getting in the way too much, and our attempt is to explain things to inform more people of what the laws are and possibly some ideas on how to improve them in the future so we are not constantly being divided over immigration. Cynthia, thank you so much and welcome to my show. How are you doing tonight?
Bill, I'm doing great. How are you? Excited about the show.
Oh, what's that?
Very excited about the show and the subject that you decided to touch on. Very popular and definitely something to debate about.
I appreciate that. Like we talked about before, I just want people to understand it because I think that a lot of people don't understand how long and extensive the tentacles of immigration are in our society. And I just want people to understand it instead of just always, you know, being for it or against it based on who's in office at the time. Is there anything that you want to add to my opening on the show?
I do. You know, you and I have spoken before about it and how immigration is such a sore subject because there's some just lack of information or ignorance, or and it's a very complicated area. I mean, I think I was trying to explain to you that immigration itself can be divided into these subcategories, and people don't even know how complex the law is. The Immigration and Nationality Act is huge and very difficult to read and understand, much less for the politicians that write the laws. But the immigration itself, today you're focusing on the executive part of it, but immigration can be criminal immigration or family immigration, business immigration, and of course you've got all the deportation and removals. You know, that alone can be subdivided. So it definitely is going to take more than 1 hour with you to really get people to understand the complexities about it and how it's not just a white or black answer.
And that's what, like, tonight we're going to touch on all the executive orders just to help people understand what, because that's the hot topic, and help people understand what they are. And we, I think we can do it in a non-ideological way, but just to say, hey, here's what they are and here's what they mean. And then in our future shows that we're going to be doing on immigration, we can really break down how, like, the different groups that you just now talked about, and the different laws that are on the books, and kind of what's wrong with them and what, you know, we can do to improve them. And even, and this is just a new idea, even how they affect our state, you know, how here in Louisiana might be affected by immigration laws differently from our country. Are you you ready for me to go over some of the executive orders first?
Yes, I know there are a whole bunch, and you're probably going to do a little brief explanation about everything that's still in place.
Absolutely. You know, the one of the first, I'm going to list them. Biden begins undoing Trump's public charge rule that prevents immigrant welfare dependency. What is that about?
Okay, so before Trump made that law, basically anyone who wanted to apply for a relative to come live in the United States, they would have to file a form called the I-864 or Affidavit of Support. And that form is basically a contract between the petitioner that's sponsoring that immigrant coming into the United States to live, agreeing that if that person becomes a public charge, i.e. request any public assistance such as, you know, public housing or food stamps or Medicaid, you name it, there's a long list of what public charge encompasses, then the government would have the ability to sue the person that signed that affidavit to collect those monies. That has never really been enforced, at least not in my cases. I've never seen anyone that actually claimed public benefits and got sued by the government to say, hey, you owe us this much money because this person you sponsored applied for food stamps or whatever. So what Trump did is basically up the ante in the sense of requesting that those that wanted to immigrate into the United States, and I don't want to get it very detailed because there's a difference between those that apply at the embassy as to those that are already here. But the ones that are here said, okay, you're going to have to show more than that. You're going to have to not only have the I-864, but there was a new form called the I-944. And in that form, they would have to show things like get a credit score, for example. And, of course, a lot of these people don't even have a social, so that was a requirement that just didn't make a lot of sense. They would have to show that they had medical insurance or had the ability to get medical insurance and didn't have or had the funds to be able to cover themselves if they had some sort of significant medical condition. So that's just one of many examples that this new regulation put in place where people had to show that they were employable, that they weren't going to become a public charge. Now, most of the times, you know, that could have been solved by enforcing the I-864 affidavit of support. But this new form just puts more of the burden on the immigrant and the petitioner to show the above requirements. I mean, some people may think, hey, that's a great idea. We don't want to be paying for all these benefits for people that are coming here to use those benefits. Let's make them accountable. And some people think that it went a little too far. Again, we'll leave that for your people who are listening to find out. But what I'm here today is just to let you know and educate your audience that this new requirement is still in force. That is supposed to be suspended and reviewed, but it's still in force, meaning that we still have to provide this application with all of our paperwork with immigration today and you know, get our clients to do a lot of that paperwork and show that. So far, immigration hasn't been, too militant about denying due to that. And the same thing in the embassies. The embassies, they've always had that requirement. You do have to come into the United States showing that you are not going to become a public charge. So that's still in force. we're just curious to see what's going to happen, if the I-94 will go away or if they're going to really start enforcing the I-864's affidavit of supports a little bit more.
It's kind of interesting because if I've got this right, there's countries like Costa Rica that if you want to immigrate there, you have to prove that you can support yourself and you have to prove that you have sufficient money to pay for your health care and stuff. Is that something similar to what this is about, or is it something that is independent all of its own?
Exactly. No, I think
we have about 30 seconds.
Canada does things that are very similar to us, to where you have to show that you are not going to become a public charge. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea to tell people, look, if you're going to come here, you really need to be prepared to support yourself. And a lot of the people that do come here and get work employment cards and work are able to support themselves and be fine. And then, of course, some of those benefits do not apply to U.S. citizens. So if they have U.S. citizen children, that doesn't forbid them from doing that. So there is a difference between the benefits that they claim as opposed to their families and what they claim.
Wow. Okay. So there are some similarities and some parallelisms. I like that. Well, look, Cynthia, we have to take our first break. So if you can just hang on with me, I know you're going to be on with me for the whole hour, and I appreciate it. But we're going to take our first break, and we'll get back to you right here after this break.
Do you have an ugly driveway, a hideous garage floor, or a floor in a room in the house that needs help, or a patio that you are ready to enjoy the cool nights on? If you want something unique, durable, inexpensive, that will look like a custom ordered floor that everyone will notice and is easy to clean, All Pro Coatings can cover all of this and more. See their website at allpro.com. That's spelled like a Cajun would, at allpreaux.com. If you want your website to come up in the top of the search engines, there is one place here in New Orleans, and that's Rhino Web Studios. And it stands for Right Here in New Orleans. Brett Thomas is the owner, and he will have your back. Rhino does websites, SEO, and social media. For one of the most respected web designers right here in New Orleans, you need to see Rhino Web Studios at rhinopm.com or call him at 504-875-5036. A very smart financial person once said there are five G's you need in life, and that's God, gold, guns, grub, and ground. And there is a place in Slidell that has gold and guns, and that's Golden Gun Traders at 1428 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And they buy, sell, trade, and transfer. So if you want to buy, have a need to sell, or just need some help doing a transfer, they can help you. Call them at 985-326-GOLD. When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience.
All right, well, we're back from break here with Cynthia Sabalos, who's our immigration attorney here in the New Orleans area. Cynthia, so are you ready for me to keep going here with these executive orders from Biden?
Let's do it.
All right. Expands the United States refugee admissions program and rescinds Trump policies that limited refugee admissions and required additional vetting.
Okay, so this, gosh, we could spend a week talking about refugees and what that means and how our country has always had open doors for people who are escaping other countries. And you know, we talk about countries that are doing really bad, you know, Syria and Honduras and countries of really violent status. So what Trump is trying to do is saying, in particular, what he wanted to do was avoid the caravans, right, that were coming from these countries in masses and escaping what it was really just horrific, not just poverty, but violence and gang and cartel related. And so it's divided. This theme is divided into different subsections because it's not just the resettlement and the refugee and where they're going to go and who do we let in. We all know that what they did is they forced a lot of the migrants to stay in Mexico. And what the U.S. did is it came to these agreements with countries like El Salvador or Guatemala, at some point Mexico, to where you had to first seek refuge in the first country you crossed. So if you're coming from El Salvador or Honduras, you would seek refuge in the country that you crossed, whether that be Guatemala and eventually Mexico. And if they granted you asylum, then you had to stay there and basically live there and make your new life in that country. And so a lot of these countries themselves, if you crossed to El Salvador and then that was horrible, and you crossed over to Guatemala, well, that was even worse. And so you're not going to apply for asylum there. And then you'd go into Mexico. And so Trump was giving incentives to these countries to sign these agreements saying that they were safe harbor countries, meaning that the countries were safe enough to harbor those that were seeking asylum. And so he came to agreements with a few of these countries, and some of the people were forced to stay there, or they would have a good claim to be denied asylum, saying, well, Guatemala already gave you asylum, why are you coming here? Mm-hmm. And then finally, once they crossed all the way to Mexico and they were seeking asylum, they would have to wait in Mexico while they affirmatively requested asylum at the ports of entry and say, okay, well, we got your application, we'll call you later for an interview, and you just wait in Mexico. And that caused, of course, problems of their own. A lot of the people that were waiting in Mexico were taken advantage of. They were living under, a bridge. Some women and children raped and hurt because, the northern part of Mexico is very violent and volatile. It's full of the drug cartels. And then, of course, people got whiffed, hey, we can extort these people who are coming with some money. And so robberies and all kinds of problems evolved from that.
And, it sounds to me, too, like you mentioned, Trump policies, Biden policies. It's like all of these, I'm going to say, overlapping executive orders on immigration sounds like they're conflicting a little bit with the actual laws that they have that are in our immigration policies. Would that be a correct statement?
Yeah. And so they do, in the sense that we've had an asylum system that hasn't really been working. And I think the caravans had a lot to do with, like, wait a second, we can't deal with all these people. And so they were conflicting in the sense that you want to protect the integrity of the country, but at the same time, you did also want to give protection to those that were asking for it. But the masses were just too big. So you had one administration that's going to, like, no, we're not letting anyone in. You're going to have to wait. And also, I think there was also a misconception of, an idea from the Trump administration that the asylum system was being abused and overused. And a lot of times there were fraudulent asylum applications, and unfortunately for a few, a lot suffered. And I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I can tell you for sure that there are applications for asylum that don't have any merit. They get denied in the end, and people were just trying to get and buy some time. Yet at the same time, there were a lot of asylum applications where horrific things happened to people in their countries that really had good merit, that again, this last administration was kind of trying to just take them all together in one bowl and say, no, we're going to stop for a while.
Here might be an easy one. This is a little bit longer, but it's actually an interesting one for that I took interest in. It says directs relevant agencies to ensure LGBTQI and refugees and asylum seekers have equal access to protections, requires the Department of State to lead a group to respond quickly to international LGBTQI human rights abuses and to report annually to Congress on global LGBTQ abuses, directs agencies to review Trump administration policies and rescind those that are inconsistent with this memo. That was kind of...
Yes.
Go ahead.
That's a handful, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. The only reason I'm throwing it to you is because it mentioned, asylum seekers and refugees.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if maybe there was some explanation on that one that you might know. If you don't, that's fine. It's kind of a weird one.
No, yeah. I know it is. It almost encompasses a group that has been kind of very poorly protected. There are some countries where being homosexual whether gay, lesbian, LGBT, the mixed or the right. There's so many names right now, and a lot of those names and protections are not mentioned clearly or clearly protected. And I think what they're trying to do is encompass every type of group, if you will, mm-hmm. under a protection, under asylum. So asylum, there are countries like Mexico and a lot of places in Latin America, in the Middle East, where if there's any indicia that you are homosexual, you could be stoned to death. You could be discriminated against. It's very dangerous. And a lot, we'll get into this, I'm sure, Bill, when I come back and talk in depth about asylum. But, you know, the groups that asylum has protected were little by little being eliminated by the Trump administration, in the sense that, you know, protections for like women victims of domestic violence, that was eliminated by the previous administration, by Jeff Sessions, when all these cases started passing. Also protections against victims of extortion or like the gangs in Central America. Those groups were being limited. Little by little were chipped away. I understand why, because I know that every time you have fraudulent cases where everybody claims the same thing, you're going to be like, wait, hold on a second. And again, the good cases paid for that. And so I think the purpose of this one was to encompass these groups as well. Homosexuals have always been a group that we've been trying to protect, because that group in particular has protections of their own. So they're included in this protection as well for asylum.
It kind of extends the protections here that we have in the United States for people who of all walks of life, we'll just say, extend that to people in other countries who are trying to escape on those reasons. So here's another one. Is a short one. Revokes Trump's order. This is another Biden executive order on immigration. Revokes Trump's order justifying separating families at the border and creates a task force that recommends steps to Biden to reunite separated families.
Yeah, and we all saw the news and how heart-wrenching the practice was. Again, that was instituted because a lot of people were hearing that if you came into the United States with your child or a minor child, then you would be released on your own recognizance. Because nobody wanted to have a child in detention, and so you wouldn't be detained. And I'm not going to say that everybody, but some groups would take advantage of that knowledge that got spread, that, you know, come in with a child and, mm-hmm. and you'll be fine. And so the administration was kind of reacting to that, saying, well, we're not going to do that. We're just going to detain everybody. And that's when, of course, you saw these photos in the media of the cages with families mm-hmm. in them and children being detained with their parents, or the separation, which is, okay, well, we're not, this is, again, was during the debate of this practice. They said, okay, well, we're going to detain the adults and then we'll release the children either to a relative or we'll put them in foster care or we'll send them wherever. And during that process, the adult would go in removal proceedings and it didn't matter if you had a child or not, you would go through the removal proceedings and get deported for whatever reason, either because...
So this order kind of keeps families together, but mm-hmm. it wasn't just the previous administration before Biden, but the one before that separated families too. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think the separation has happened, and the detention centers have never been ideal places for children. That definitely occurred before, and also the Obama administration.
We had 10 seconds.
Deported, you know, way more people. So this is just an attempt to stop that practice altogether.
Cynthia, we're going to pick back up after this break. This is our long break, and so after this break, we're going to let you finish that answer here on William Wallace for America. In the winter, you don't want to think about gardening too much, but there is one place you need to remember in the fall, and that's Double M Feed Garden and Pet Supplies on Jefferson Highway in Harahan. They have fall bedding and everything you need to winterize your yard. Catch them now so your yard doesn't look ugly all winter. And they have seasonal colored flowers, and they will have high-quality Christmas trees and poinsettias. Remember, that's Double M Feed in Harahan.
Does your company need to wear a mask to be compliant? Do you feel masks are needed to stop spread? Or do you have a company that needs to offer protection? National Mask USA offers masks that are 100% made in the USA with a facility right here in Louisiana. Masks made in the USA offer peace of mind that they will be made reliably, sanitary, and with American workers to help the U.S. economy. To find out how to get bulk quantity level 1, 3, and KN95 masks, call 504-738-5729. That's 504-738-5729. Jana McCaffrey is not just any personal injury attorney. She is someone that cares about our community. You can call her for a free consultation at 504-837-1234, and she is the type of attorney that can help you with other legal needs. And if she can't, she will know where to send you. Jana McCaffrey is not just looking for your business. She is looking to be a good resource for everyone in our community. Give her a call at 837-1234. Do you have an ugly driveway, a hideous garage floor, or a floor in a room in the house that needs help, or a patio that you are ready to enjoy the cool nights on? If you want something unique, durable, inexpensive, that will look like a custom ordered floor that everyone will notice and is easy to clean, All Pro Coatings can cover all of this and more. See their website at allpro.com. That's spelled like a Cajun would, at allpreaux.com.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Brooke Thorington. Governor John Bel Edwards says he will extend the state's current COVID-19 restrictions for another 21 days. The current public health order was scheduled to expire tomorrow. Edwards extended the order as health officials worry new strains of the virus could cause another spike in cases and hospitalizations and super spreader events of people celebrating carnival season despite warning not to participate in large gatherings. Former President Donald Trump's second impeachment trial began today, with Democrats pushing to make the case he incited a mob to attack the U.S. Capitol on January 6. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy announced he will be voting against convicting President Trump. Senator Bill Cassidy says he hasn't made a decision yet.
If you're a juror, you're supposed to go in with an open mind. And I think if we just do our job and focus on first principles, that's all we can do.
All of the state's Republican congressional delegation voted against articles of impeachment in the House. LouisianaRadioNetwork.com.
This year, spend less time working in your yard and more time enjoying it, thanks to Sunshine Quality Solutions. Our 3025D package comes equipped with the attachments and horsepower to tackle the most demanding jobs. Get a John Deere 3025D tractor, loader, rotary cutter, and trailer with 0% financing for 60 months. Visit us in-store or online at sunequip.com. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Offer ends October 31st, 2021.
Okay, honey, stay calm. The hospital is only 10 minutes away. Just hold on.
I can't wait any longer. Pull over at the corner store.
We can make it to the hospital. Just remember your breathing.
Pull over. Right there.
Okay, let's do this.
Be right back.
Huh?
Hi, how can I help you?
As you can see, I'm in a bit of a rush. Can I please have the new corner payout game from the lottery?
Yes, ma'am. Good luck with everything.
Just can't wait. Play corner payout from the lottery. Win up to $8,000. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
At Augie's in Harahan, you can reminisce about places like the Windjammer, Sal and Sam's, Smiley's, Augie's on Veterans, and Augie's Glass Garden, because Augie's talent for food was blended into all of them, and you can still experience them at his restaurant on Jefferson Highway in the Elmwood Business Park in Harahan. Augie's has a room for parties, receptions, and other events. Go visit Augie's for lunch or dinner, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
Does your company need to wear a mask to be compliant? Do you feel masks are needed to stop spread? Or do you have a company that needs to offer protection? National Mask USA offers masks that are 100% made in the USA with a facility right here in Louisiana. Masks made in the USA offer peace of mind that they will be made reliably, sanitary, and with American workers to help the U.S. economy. To find out how to get bulk quantity level 1, 3, and KN95 masks, call 504-738-5729. That's 504. 738-5729. When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guests to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience. All right, welcome back to William Wallace for America here on WGSO Studios in New Orleans, Louisiana. So we're covering immigration. We're covering Biden's executive orders on immigration, and we're doing it in a non-ideological, factual way, because guess what? A fact's a fact on this, and I think it's the best way to handle it, because once we approach it in a factual way, we can really start to make some progress to finding solutions and offering some good solutions to overhauling our immigration policies to where they can benefit everybody, those who want to come to America legally, and the citizens of our country. And Cynthia Sebelius is on the phone with us. So, Cynthia, we got our next executive order. I'm going to try to go through them quick because I want to make sure we got them all covered. But the next one is aims to address economic and political causes of migration, works with organizations to provide protection to asylum seekers, and ensures Central American asylum seekers have legal access to the United States. It rescinds Trump's administration policies and guidelines and also initiates a review of policies that have effectively closed the U.S. border to asylum seekers.
Okay, yeah, so that sounds super complicated, but it just goes back to what I was referring in our last segment about the problems, in particular, Central America. What's El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, but in particular Central America, they've been just inundated for the past several years, and it's a long history of their own politically, but they are ridden with poverty, which leads to corruption, which leads to the cartels and the gang members to basically take over these communities. And what they do is the community, the gangs extort people, especially those that own businesses or have money, and they say, you need to pay us this much or otherwise we're going to kill this person or that. So they call it the tax war. We have all these country reports confirming of the conditions of these countries.
So to your point, it takes one of the other things we talked about, but it kind of makes a little bit more of a encompasses a little bit few more people that have been exposed to violence in their country.
Yeah, I think in particular it's going to focus on how do we solve this problem. We briefly, you and I touched on this, on how the United States has gotten involved in say civil wars or places where they're just rampant with just horrific situations.
And I think go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I was going to say that I think involvement in countries to avoid or try to help these problems may help solve this problem as far as giving asylum opportunities to countries in Central America.
This next one, I think, also piggybacks on another one of his executive orders. So some of these overlap, but here's another executive order. Rescinds Trump's memo requiring immigrants to repay the government if they receive public benefits, elevates the role of the executive branch in promoting immigrant integration and including reestablishing a task force on new Americans, requires agencies to review immigration regulations and policies.
Yeah, this is a very general one. It touches on different things. We already talked about the affidavit of support and how there is a contract in place to where anyone that sponsors somebody is going to become responsible for any public benefits incurred by this person. But this might be turning into a little bit of my personal opinion, but it's mostly my experience. A lot of the people that come to this country, the first thing they want to do is get a work permit and work. Very seldom do you see someone that wants to come to this country to sit on the street and do nothing and put a hand out.
Yeah.
These are people that usually come with their families and want a better life. So you won't see a lot of people. You will see a lot of people making, say, the minimum wage or making just enough to support their families and not enough to be wealthier or get ahead faster. But most of those people will be trying to seek public benefits for their families, for their children some of them are even born in the United States. So I think a comprehensive approach to this is probably a good idea to enforce some of these contracts that haven't been enforced in the past to really see that the public system hasn't been abused or taken advantage of. But I think what we'll find is that doesn't happen a lot. You'll see that most people get ITN numbers, for example, to file their taxes and pay in their taxes, even though they're not going to get any Social Security benefits from it.
So what do you think is the reason why there's two executive orders that are so parallel?
I think they're trying to encompass as much as they can. All these executive orders is what they are. They're executive orders. Eventually, we will need immigration reform, something that takes a look at the laws and how they're written, make changes as they deem be so they stick. Because it just takes one administration after the other to be changing back and forth. Well, I don't want this and I don't want that. Let's do this. Let's do that. But nothing really changes permanently. So, poning up on two or three or more than talk about the same thing is just different ways of saying the same thing.
So the other one I've got here is requires non-citizens to be included in the census and apportionment of congressional representatives.
Okay, and that's going to just be, I think, politically what one party wanted that the other one didn't. And you will get political when you talk about this issue because it comes into how many people live in one state and who should be counted and who shouldn't be counted.
So there's no real benefit to the immigrant or a person that's immigrating here on this one other than to the party that decides to try to, be political about it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the immigrants that didn't want to fill the census were afraid. There was, again, the debate on whether or not you should have the question in the census if you were had lawful status or if you were a resident or not, and then you were putting your information there. So there was a combination of some immigrants really didn't care whether they were counted or not. Some didn't want to be counted at all.
This next one might be – go ahead.
Yeah. No,
no, this,
that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this next one might be a long answer, but we might have to make it short because we've got a break coming up, which is fortifies DACA after Trump's efforts to undo protections for undocumented people brought into this country as children.
Good Lord. That's going to be one of our podcasts, I'm sure, because DACA is a subject where most people agree. That those that got brought into the United States as children who've been here forever really deserve permanent status. And forever, DACAs are basically work permits without any fear of deportation, but there's no path to anything. And these are kids that are now in professions, some even served in the military, and it is what it is right now purely because of political reasons. DACA has never been a standalone bill. It's always been for debate and, well, you give me this and I'll give you that. And so I really hope that, and I know that we're running out of time before the commercial break, but I'll talk a little bit more about what basically Biden did, which is now DACA was going to end under Trump. It was not going to be renewed and you could no longer file for new DACA applications. And they were rejecting the renewals as well because they were going to end. So Biden put an end to that and DACAs can now rest a little safer and breathe a little deeper.
So children aren't in limbo. So children aren't in limbo, or pardon the expression, never never land. They're kind of,
exactly.
I don't mean that in a bad.
Still a never never land.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean they're in this, without something in place, they're kind of in limbo. They're kind of, it's not so much fair to them to not have something in place that allows them to kind of become citizens if they choose to be, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this limbo has been for decades because these are for kids that entered in 2007. It doesn't apply to everybody. So just because you got brought as a child, you have to comply with the requirements. And I mean, we can go deeper into that at another time. But yeah, DACA is now they can at least be calm and safe that for the next 4 years, those can be renewed as well as the work permits. And then hopefully one day soon, they will do the immigration reform where DACA is a standalone bill where these children who are now adults have a path
so it's
to citizenship.
It's standalone next to our immigration policies then, right?
Yeah, I mean that most of the time that DACA is tried to pass, it usually is accompanied by other non-related, even non-immigration-related items on the bill.
Oh, it's one of those things they throw in there, kind of like the
yeah.
Fun. Well, here's another. Let's see if we can get this one before the break in a minute. It reverses the Trump administration's restrictions on U.S. entry for passport holders from seven Muslim-majority countries.
Yeah, the Muslim ban was very controversial. That I think is a black and white issue where you're going to have those that are for and against it. It's a very personal way of looking at things, but I think the Biden administration is saying you can't put everybody in the same basket. You have to look at it on a case by case basis. Some countries like Venezuela were thrown in at the end saying, look, it's not just Muslim countries. But in the end, what they're trying to say is just based on merit and on your background and what you're applying for, the ban from the Muslim countries is now lifted, which a lot of people had their families separated when the ban was in place that maybe this administration thought didn't deserve to be separated and analyze every case independently.
The only thing I can add to that is that I know that the reason why it was Muslim majority country or the seven Muslim, because those were highest in terrorism. And that's why that was the reasoning for originally doing that one, because those countries are high in terrorism. But what you're saying is that this executive order kind of reverses that to make it more based on merit than just because they're from one of those countries.
Exactly. I think it is going to become a political debate as far as which countries are going to be in the axis of evil, if you will. I mean, George Bush, had that name to it, where you do have countries with high levels of terrorism. And I think this administration is going to try to find a way to kind of hopefully
balance
get in the middle
out.
Where you are protecting
all right.
the country.
Cynthia, we got to take another break. And after the break, we're going to have you back on.
Get ready, Raider New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only, January 9th and 10th at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, January 9th and 10th at the Pontchartrain Center. Show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
Janet McCaffrey is not just any personal injury attorney. She is someone that cares about our community. You can call her for a free consultation at 504-837-1234. And she is the type of attorney that can help you with other legal needs. And if she can't, she will know where to send you. Janet McCaffrey is not just looking for your business. She is looking to be a good resource for everyone in our community. Give her a call at 837-1234.
Do you have an ugly driveway, a hideous garage floor, or a floor in a room in the house that needs help, or a patio that you are ready to enjoy the cool nights on? If you want something unique, durable, inexpensive, that will look like a custom ordered floor that everyone will notice and is easy to clean, All Pro Coatings can cover all of this and more. See their website at allpro.com. That's spelled like a Cajun would, at allpreaux.com.
All right, we're back to William Wallace for America. So we got a couple, three quick executive orders to cover, Cynthia. Let's see if we get them done quick so we can have a couple minutes before the close of the show. The other executive order on immigration that Biden put in was undoes Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement within the United States. Cynthia? All right, I think we lost Cynthia. So, all right, everybody, we'll get Cynthia back on here in just a minute. But we've got I'll go over the executive orders real quick. There's one that undoes Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement within the United States. There's one that halts construction of the border wall by terminating the national emergency declaration used to fund it. And then the other one we're going to talk about is extends deferrals of deportation. So the what's happening is that we're going to cover in the next few episodes. Our producer is going to get Cynthia back on here in just a second. What we're going to be doing in the next few episodes on our podcast, on my podcast, is we're going to be covering all of these things, expanding them a little bit more. Cynthia, we're back on the line with you. Gotcha, right? So
back on the line.
So Cynthia, the other executive order is undoes Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement within the United States.
Okay, I haven't reviewed that one. I'm going to assume the following, though. So ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is the agency that's in charge of knocking on doors, trying to do stops, enforcing removal orders, and trying to find someone with a criminal record. I really don't believe, in my opinion, that will change much. I think that ICE was, before the Trump administration, ICE was prioritizing people with criminal records, people who had gone to jail for, you know, DUIs or domestic violence. When Trump came into power, it was basically more and focused on whoever. So if you were here or if it didn't matter who you were, so it kind of was more general. They would detain no matter who. And so we ended up with a lot of court cases of people that otherwise wouldn't have been in court or removal proceedings. And so that kind of clogged the system even more. I believe that this administration is just kind of revise and prioritize who are we really going to put in the removal system so we don't clog these courts, and prioritize those that really, for example, someone who's been ordered deported and didn't move and didn't leave.
Or committed a crime or something like that.
Exactly.
Here's a controversial one. I'm going to give you the last two kind of quick. Halts construction of the border wall by terminating the national emergency declaration used to fund it. Pretty straightforward.
I think that this one is just na-na-na-na-na, you know, just yeah. Kind of a fight between the parties. It's always been controversial. You know, Trump wanted to have a legacy on the wall that he built. Some people thought that the funds could have been used better in other places. Some people thought that we needed a reinforced wall or a new one. It's going to be a matter of opinion. I think that this particular administration is against the funds being spent on something that may be temporary or degrades, where we could be using those funds more on technology or more enforcement officers
and other
or
than
drones
the-
or...
Well, other than a physical, and I'm only interrupting you because I know we got a few minutes left here, and I want to get more of your good information out. I love your, but people can hear more of all of your commentaries when we do our podcast, which would be really great. But also, does a physical wall actually stop the memes that you see of people crossing the border? It wouldn't completely stop illegal immigration anyway, will it?
Yeah, I think the debate, or really the problem, Bill, I think with the wall is that you do want to stop people that shouldn't be here, right? Those that are coming in for political asylum, they know how to get here. They hire the coyotes. They know where to cross or whatever. What we want to stop is those terrorists that are going to cross the border, the unsecured border. They're going to stop flying. They're going to start coming in through Mexico thinking, oh, look, there's a weak part of the wall. So I get it. I get how some of the funds should be to reinforcing the border we have, but it's impossible to really spend that money on something that really isn't going to cure the problem or the danger completely.
Got it.
So that'll be revised for sure.
The last one extends deferrals of deportation and work authorizations for Liberians with a safe haven in the United States until June 30th, 2022.
Yeah, so a lot of the orders that passed were limiting protections from certain countries. Liberia was one that was taken away. That, of course, is back. The work permits of those seeking, they're different types of seeking or being in this country. And the Liberians or people from Syria, from other countries that come got restricted with work permits or had, of course, we all remember when the temporary protective status was going to be rescinded from countries from like Honduras and El Salvador. And those got, of course, extended as well. So I think you're going to start seeing a lot of going back and forth on how do we protect the people that came some decades ago and some that really have come from countries like Liberia, Syria, people where their countries have been devastated either by civil war or natural catastrophes. And the work permits, of course, this is going to be a segue into our podcast on asylum. But on asylum, the Trump administration changed the ability to get work permits and forced people that came in with asylum to wait 365 days before applying for a work permit, as opposed to 180 days, which is what it's always been. So a lot of these people weren't able to get work permits, which means that as long as you're in asylum, you wouldn't be able to work. So I think there's going to be just a revisitation. Hopefully that changes as well, because the 365 days before you could apply for a work permit is still in place. But all of that is going to start changing and most likely going back to the way things were before, which wasn't ideal, but it's a start.
Well, it's amazing because we've doing this in a non-ideological way, which I'm really happy about, because, you know, it really is, like as I said in the beginning of the show, I think that both sides have used immigration to their advantage, to get kind of what they want politically speaking, and I'm glad that you shared all this with us in a legal review. Obviously immigration needs to have an overhaul in America, and I think you agree with that. Is there one thing that you think that we need to point out? And then also, let's give our listeners a clue of what's coming up in the next few episodes that we're going to cover about immigration. What are some of those hot topics or some of those main categories that you mentioned early in the show that you think we need to cover?
Absolutely. I think the point that we're trying to get across is that immigration always ends up with people fighting and yelling and this and not. And it doesn't have to be that way. Immigration is about really informing yourself about how dysfunctional the immigration system can sometimes be. And we're really a country of immigrants. And to get back to really understanding who we are and what we want to do as a country, we're trying to grow and we're trying to protect those that have less or that are in peril. I mean, to go back to our roots, what we do is the United States of America and our position as a leader country. And I think the idea of what we're doing, what you and I are doing, is to just give people the tools and the information so when we do have a debate, we have an educated debate where it's not just opinions, even though everyone's entitled to one. But I think an educated opinion leads to a much more productive conversation.
I love that, Cynthia, because exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, look, before meeting you and before I knew, is immigration was one thing. It was always a tool used by the other side. And now with the right information, we can do this in such a way that we can actually get some ideas out, because we both want legal immigration. We want people who not only want to be here, but are here legally. And I really appreciate you helping me get that information out, Cynthia. And Cynthia, we got 30 seconds left. Do you have a couple seconds to say something?
Yeah, no, it's going to be my pleasure talking about it. I really do think that I've said this just like you have, that I do believe in legal immigration, but people have to understand why we have illegal immigration.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. Everybody else, stay tuned to the future podcast here with me, William Wallace for America. Catch me on the podcast, Facebook, and also on my YouTube channel. In the winter, you don't want to think about gardening too much, but there is one place you need to remember in the fall, and that's Double M Feed.
garden and pet supplies on Jefferson Highway in Harahan. They have fall bedding and everything you need to winterize your yard. Catch them now so your yard doesn't look ugly all winter. And they have seasonal colored flowers, and they will have high-quality Christmas trees and poinsettias. Remember, that's Double M Feed in Harahan. There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. A very smart financial person once said there are five G's you need in life, and that's God, gold, guns, grub, and ground. And there is a place in Slidell that has gold and guns, and that's Gold and Gun Traders at 1428 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And they buy, sell, trade, and transfer. So if you want to buy, have a need to sell, or just need some help doing a transfer, they can help you. Call them at 985-326-GOLD. When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Parkview Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Parkview Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Parkview Historic Hotel a unique experience.
Brian Diaz here, host of the NOLA Drink Show. Join us every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WGSO, 990 AM, New Orleans, Louisiana.